Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live today, of course, from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Glad you guys could be with us here on this Tuesday morning, rocking and rolling. Angels, you've printed it out, too. You've got the bracket. You're researching the heck out of this, man. This is...
Oh, it's crazy.
You're really diving into this. I'm proud of you.
My notes for all the games so far. Two pages
so far.
Look
at that.
Every game... I figured out a random math equation that works for me. I have no idea if it actually gives me a winner or not. But so far, my bracket looks very March Madness-y. Cool. Upsets, big seeds, big names. Still, it's fun.
All of you're going to have a lot of logic and such in here. You're going to have a lot of math. You're going to have a lot of different things here. But we all
it's
know
a fairly simple equation.
We all know who you're picking to win the whole thing, but everything else is getting
well. That's what I'm worried about,
because
I see these numbers and I see Alabama's numbers, and I'm like, okay, we'll see what the math does for my equation.
Mm-hmm.
Whichever, there's a good shot they win it all.
You've already picked a bunch of upsets. I have a hard time picking upsets. That's just the logical part of my brain, but March Madness, you can use logic, because again. At the end of the day, when you get to the Final Four, those are typically teams that we kind of thought might be there. But it's those teams that get to the Sweet 16, even the Elite Eight, a lot of times there's a team or two that are like the Cinderella story.
I have two upsets right now.
You have two upsets in the first round, don't you?
Yes.
You don't have to give them away. It's whatever you want to do, whatever you feel comfortable with.
I'll give you one.
Okay.
Furman, all right. 13 seed. Beats Virginia, a fourth seed.
Wow. That's
a game where everyone's going to pick Virginia because, oh, Virginia, they should win that game. And no, it's going to be Furman.
I haven't picked anything yet. I went through, and I'm having a hard time picking any upsets. That's where I'm struggling the most here, is I never like... I'm usually like... not doing very well in the first weekend. But I survive after that because my teams, you know, the teams that I pick to go to the Elite Eight, Final Four, whatever, that's where I usually make my money there. That's where I usually start pulling up into the top 10 upper echelon side of things. Didn't do that last year, but the year before that and the year before that, that was my method because I struggle picking these Cinderella stories because logically my brain just won't go there. It just won't allow me to pick any of these major upsets. So I'm almost just have to close my eyes and take somebody that I actually think's going to lose, and you just kind of shot in the dark there. That's typically what I do. All right, we'll get this figured out. So the Hooligans, you really don't have to get it all picked out until... You know, you got till Thursday morning because you don't have to pick the. They don't. I don't even think on our system you can pick the first. Can you pick the first four?
Oh, well, let me see.
I don't think so.
But if you have a first four team moving on, which I think I do, I think I have Pittsburgh moving on to the second round.
Okay. All right. Pittsburgh second round. You're not going to lose this for lack of trying. Like, you are putting the work in, for sure. You're definitely getting there. So, are we cutting it off? Are we allowing anybody else? Because I sent out all the final invites yesterday. And, of course, I've got about a dozen people that are like, I can't figure it out. It's like, I don't... But one guy said,
we could go to two.
Did you send out the invite? If so, when I click the link, it says the link is wrong and asked me to have you re-invite me. I'll just re-invite everybody. I sent out a reminder yesterday. Did you get it? It just said make your picks. That's it.
Probably.
That's as much as I typed in there.
I know I'm in the pool, so there's that.
We got a lot in there. We're always wanting more. You know, the more the merrier on this thing. It's going to be a blast. All right, First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Wild day yesterday. Just absolutely crazy. The Broncos spent the most. I don't understand the salary cap, Angel. I just don't. The Broncos started with like $33 million in there. They spent $59 million. Obviously they have now. They got to start trimming and cutting and doing some things here, which leads me to believe that maybe they have to restructure Garrett Bowles. listen, the idea of restructuring Russell Wilson is not out of the question. They could still do that, but I don't understand the salary cap. It's all about fudging the numbers and figuring that out, and that's why I do believe George Payton right now is valuable to what the Broncos are doing. Sean Payton's probably not budgeting right now. He's probably not the one doing all that. I mean, yeah, he's the beacon that's getting these guys to come over, sure, I believe. In fact, I think Sean Payton, this feels a lot like the other Payton, Peyton Manning. When this, you know, when you sign Peyton Manning, which again, I will always give John Elway the utmost respect for that. He got Peyton Manning here, and because of that, you were able to get a bunch of other free agents that year before you won the Super Bowl. Aqib Talib and T.J. Ward and DeMarcus Ware, like those guys came over because they looked at it and said, okay, we can make money anywhere. But we have a shot of making money and potentially winning a Super Bowl and etching our names in NFL history. Sean Payton, dude, I guess I didn't give him that much credit on this one. I thought, this is the other thing, like Mike McGlinchey, Powers, all these guys, they must not think Russell Wilson is as washed as the national media and maybe the local media would lead us to believe, because do they want to come here and be a part of a 6-win team and their quarterback's terrible? Because McGlinchey could have gone, don't you think he's going to get that money anywhere? Most places that, there's a lot of teams that need a right tackle. 5-year, $87.5 million, $50 million guaranteed. McGlinchey could have got that money from a lot of different teams. So either Sean Payton is just like, that is so attractive to these free agents. Maybe it's a mix where they don't, a lot of these guys don't really believe that Russell Wilson is as bad off as a lot of us kind of believe throughout the course of the season. It's one thing. And again, a lot of these, yeah, there's free agents that sign. They just sign the biggest contract. Their agent finds who's going to pay the most, and that's the way it is. But it seems like a guy like McGlinchey is so good that he would have his options. And for him to decide on the Broncos is a big deal. So our poll question today, available at thewholeshow.com. What was your favorite move from yesterday by the Broncos? I think you could easily say the Broncos, if they didn't win the day, they're certainly up there. As far as the moves that they needed to make, the holes they needed to fill, they did all that and then some. They let Draymond Jones walk. He goes to Seattle, signs a big deal there. Well, they bring in Zach Allen. Who's better? Draymond's probably a little bit better. But does Zach Allen fit the system better? He was Vance Joseph's guy. So Draymond Jones probably on paper is a little bit better, but they're pretty close. And I think Allen's a year younger. So the Broncos signed Mike McGlinchey. They signed Ben Powers. They signed defensive linemen. And I say defensive lineman, Angel, because he can play D-end and he can play D-tackle. He's moved around in his career. With Arizona, he played defensive end. His first year, he played left defensive tackle. His second year, and then he moved back to the defensive end side of things. So that guy's versatile. You can move him around. Then they get a backup quarterback. Absolutely needed him. Jarrett Stidham. And is that a guy at the age of 26 that can still become a starting quarterback in this league? I mean, his numbers aren't going to show. He doesn't have the numbers. He doesn't have the games. Played in a couple of games last year for the Raiders. Threw for 656 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. I think he had one really good game and one meh kind of game. Texter here, Dixon. Where is that? Where is it? Got to refresh the text line. After signing a guy, every team wants to think that guy didn't just come here for the money. But if there's 31 other teams, and you got arguably one of the best tackles. Is Mike McGlinchey ranked up there as far as one of the best tackles in the NFL? Got to be, right? I don't know where you want to put Ben Powers at left guard, but he's certainly an upgrade over Dalton Reisner. Yes, they came here for money, but they could have gone other places for money. could they have gotten more somewhere else? I mean, yeah, we got Walmart here. They're spending money. But, dude, Angel, everyone's talking about, well, Mr. Walmart's great to have the guys with money. They still have to stay under the salary cap. Now, they can give the guaranteed money, though, which, yeah, that helps. That's certainly a big deal. But these guys, McGlinchey doesn't... Some of these players are just in it for the next contract. Some of these players are good enough where the contract's going to come. Now I want to go somewhere where I can win. Dixon saying Wilson ain't no beacon like Manning. Now, I'm not saying Wilson's the beacon. It's Sean Payton's the beacon. I'm just saying that maybe they're looking at it. Ben Powers and McGlinchey first are looking at it going, we can win here. I mean, I guess that just goes into... What do you think's the most important thing for a player? Well, when you're good, you're going to get the money. So the most important thing for a player that's good is where do I go where I can win football games? Where do I go? You think McGlinchey wants to go from San Francisco, a contender, to the Broncos? If he doesn't think if there isn't a small part of him that doesn't think that they could bounce back this year and be a competitor? I'm not saying contender. I'm saying a competitor, meaning the idea of playoffs is going to be alive and well. Texter says, Sean Payton is a beacon? You tell me. What did we just see yesterday? If he's not a beacon, is it all Walmart money? Is that what it is? Is it just about the money? Some of these players are good players, dude. A lot of these guys could have got close to that. Somewhere else, maybe more. We'll talk to Zach Stevens about that a little bit more on the other side. Yes, I think Sean Payton is a beacon. I think that he is a popular enough coach where good players look at it and say, we want to play for that guy because we believe he can get this team where it needs to be. Draymond Jones, it sounded like he was just sour on the Broncos before Sean Payton. Maybe a little sour on the fact that, oh, you paid Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick, but you're not going to pay me? Yeah, sometimes that goes that way. I don't think Draymond really wanted to be a Bronco. I knew he didn't want to be a Bronco before Sean got here. And then after the fact, that changed maybe a little bit, but I still think he looked at the Tim Patrick, Cortland Sutton thing. And again, I don't know for a fact that he did that, but you got to wonder, a guy like that, maybe starts changing his mind, but the Broncos aren't budging, and they're going to say, hey, no, go ahead and walk. And then the frustration. I mean, he goes to Seattle, for crying out loud. That's another guy that had options. But he goes to Seattle, who's become kind of the NFC rivalry for the Broncos now because of this trade. Because we're going to link those two teams together probably for the next 5-10 years. Texter, why would McGlinchey want to leave San Francisco then, who is a perennial playoff team? Well, was San Francisco not willing to pay him?
Oh, well, they did pick up his fifth-year option last year, which was about $10.8 million, and their GM was kind of on the boat that, yeah, he's going to be a coveted player. We're probably not going to be able to afford him because they just paid Trent Williams.
Yeah.
But this is, on that hand, it's a guy looking for his second contract.
Well, and they loaded up with Christian McCaffrey, too. So they've got, I mean, they're paying people over there. They are paying people already. That's what we talked about yesterday. How difficult it is to keep a good team intact. Look at the Rams. Fire sale mode. And they won a Super Bowl. Not this last one, but the one before that. I don't think it's the San Francisco. You don't think San Francisco wanted Mike McGlinchey to be their right tackle? No, they absolutely did. You just can't afford everybody. You can't have every good player
I think they
that
also,
comes your way.
They may trust their coaching staff to, we can get whatever lineman we need and they'll fit the system.
If they think, yeah, and that's true too. I mean, I remember a time when the Broncos on the running back side, when Mike Shanahan was here, it was, we can trade Clinton Portis. Clinton Portis was a great running back. Not a Hall of Famer, but he was almost a 10,000-yard running back. But Denver was comfortable moving on from him because their system allowed for Mike Anderson to come in and have a 1,500-yard year. Olandis Gary came in and had a pretty good year once. Tatum Bell. I mean, the Broncos were churning out running backs left and right. And so you got to think that if you're San Francisco, maybe you believe in your system with offensive linemen. So, yeah, there's a lot of that that happens in the NFL. If it's about winning, why not stay in San Francisco? I think it's a mix. You want to get paid what you think you're worth.
He wasn't going to get paid in San Francisco.
They
don't have the cap.
They don't have the cap to give. They can't pay everybody. You know, you just can't.
Now they're really not in a part of their team where they're going to be restructuring 5-6 guys because they're in a Super Bowl window.
You're basically saying it was about the money. In fact, a money thing, and 32 teams just went to 31 if San Francisco can't afford him. Huh? You're talking out both sides of your mouth. It's not about the money, but it is about the money because San Francisco couldn't afford him. It's a mix, dude.
It's a
business.
He's a free agent because San Francisco would not pay him or will not be able to pay him what he thinks he is deserving of.
You don't think the Broncos wanted Draymond Jones, bro? Yeah, they did. They couldn't afford him.
So when you go talk to other teams and you're as a free agent, more than likely you're going to figure out the best scenario for you and your family, but also who's paying me the most. So you can it can be both.
It is both. It is. Yes.
And that's not to say
McGlinchey's not going to come
over
here.
He doesn't care about Wilson or he doesn't care about Peyton's thoughts for this team.
Correct. Yeah, it's about both. You're not going to get McGlinchey to come over here for a 5-year deal for $65 million a year, $65 million overall and like 30 guaranteed. Yeah, it's about money. It's still a business. It's still their job. But I absolutely believe that there are other teams that would have maybe come close to that. It's not like we're talking about Walmart money. Okay, they still have to stay within the salary cap. These deals are still fairly conventional when you compare them to a lot of the other monster deals coming out. And I do think, yes, it's about money, but it's also about which team might set up where they're going to have success. So therefore, that would mean Sean Payton is that beacon. Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly before I get too worked up here to start the show. The good, the bad, the ugly is presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me is the Broncos. Look what they did yesterday. Mike McGlinchey to a 5-year deal. Ben Powers, left guard, to a 4-year deal. Zach Allen, defensive lineman, to a 3-year deal. They got their backup quarterback, Jarrett Stidham, for a 2-year deal. Alex Singleton, they re-signed their linebacker, very solid player, to a 3-year deal. And they got a tight end. Chris, is it Manhurts or Manhurts?
Like Manhurts.
Manhurts? I want to say Manhurts. I want to say that. I want to make that the thing. I don't know about that one, but like, you know, he's a blocking tight end. That's it. What does that tell you, Angel? What did yesterday tell you? We are going to run the freaking football. That's what we're going to do. The bad for me, just the optics of the transfer portal. We talked about it yesterday. There's good and bad on the transfer portal. No question about it. But yesterday, it sucks to see this. Wyoming lost tons of guys that were solid pieces to what they're trying to do. UNC lost 3 dudes to the transfer portal. Kennedy's one of them.
Kennedy.
Jamel Melvin. And then another guy that I don't really know played.
He was one of the freshmen.
So
he only played, like, I think.
And I don't think
he played in that Weber State game.
And he wasn't, like, one minute. Of the highly touted freshmen of this group.
No, he had, like, 5 total minutes.
Yeah, so again, it's the optics of it. It's just the way it is now. Left and right, you see players, just the grass is greener. There's got to be a way to balance this out a little more, but smarter people than me are going to figure out how to do that. The ugly is another injury. Aturi Lehkonen breaks his finger in the return to Montreal. The Avs win big, but they lose. They come out. It's going to require surgery. He's probably going to be out for, what, 3 weeks? At least. So they're already dealing with tons of injuries. Tell you what, man, if this team finds a way, I'm not even talking about winning back-to-back Stanley Cups. If they can find a way just to get into the Western Conference Finals, Jared Bednar should have a statue built of him. He should probably be on the Mount Rushmore already. You know, we had that long discussion about a month ago about Mount Rushmore. We didn't really do coaches. But maybe you're not, if you're just talking about overall, if he can work some magic here, this team has still been very good. And I still think, in many people's eyes, a favorite to win their second Stanley Cup or in a row. But they've been doing this with injury after injury. So even though they win big, they still come out with a significant injury. So hats off to the Avs, man. They are a resilient group. There's no excuses from this group. There's no excuses from Jared Bednar. He's an excellent coach. Which is going to bring us to the discussion throughout the day today about Michael Malone. You know, as we've rested on the three-game losing streak, they're back at it tonight against Toronto. 5:30 game, a tip-off there. It's an earlier game. Really need to see a bounce back here. A four-game losing streak's going to... At some point, you got to start winning. You know, I know they're the number one seed, but you can't have monster losing streaks. You don't want to be playing your worst basketball in March and April. So we're going to talk about Malone and his combinations and everything. Does he need to try something way outside of the box when it comes to moving the pieces around? So we'll talk about that. Zach Stevens will join me from DNVR Broncos, our Broncos insider, on a big day yesterday for Denver. We'll catch up with Brian Howell as well. Some controversy in Fort Collins on our friend Kevin Lytle's newspaper. He doesn't own the paper. The Coloradoan had on the cover of the digital side of it, if you click sports, first story is a CU Buff story. Very positive CU Buff story. Rams fans not happy about it. We'll talk about all that coming up. It's going to be a busy show. Keep the text coming. It is Top Text Tuesday. Dixon's game. Okay, we got to wash it clean because Tanner screwed us up last week when he was on, distracted us. We didn't crown a winner. We will crown a winner today. $15 gift certificate to Cables Pub and Grill. Best text wins the day. I want you guys bringing it. If we're going to reload this and keep Top Text Tuesday rolling, then I want to see a battle between you guys on our First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. 28 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sean Payton, Russell Wilson. Will it work out? Here are our thoughts on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
How about rookie David Roddy? Former Mountain West Conference Player of the Year. He has been in a zone these last couple of games for Memphis. He had 24 points against Dallas the other night, added four boards to that. 19 points against they played Dallas on a back-to-back, or not a back-to-back, but twice in a row. He had 19 against them. David Roddy, playing great basketball. You love to see it, man. I had a feeling to start the season last year he'd be drafted. And then as the season progressed, I started leaning into, oh, he's going in the first round. But I did not see this coming. I did not see him being, you know, it's not like he's the most important piece to Memphis. Obviously not. Maybe not even the sixth most important or seventh most important. But he's a fairly important piece to Memphis right now, especially those last two games. I didn't see that coming. I didn't see such a solid rookie year for a Mountain West player in David Roddy. So congratulations to him. All right, man, Zach Stevens coming up. Let's break down everything that went down yesterday. What's to come for the Broncos? More moves in the works. We'll talk to Zach Stevens about it next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Crazy day yesterday for the Denver Broncos. Joining us now to dissect the moves that the Paytons made and the Broncos organization, Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos, our Broncos insider. Zach, explain the salary cap to me, because I don't understand it anymore.
Well, Brady, you can manipulate the salary cap for days and days, and that's exactly what the Broncos are doing, because they entered yesterday with $33 million in cap space for the 2023 season, and they handed out contracts that average $59 million for just this season. So you do have to say, how does that make sense? Well, the Broncos, and we're starting to get contract numbers literally just in the past 10 minutes, especially for some of the big players on the Broncos. And the way they're working these contracts is to have low cap hits this year. So that's how they're able to get all of these guys, spend an average of $59 million on these guys for this year, but actually have cap hits that are significantly less. But, Brady, that does mean the bill is due at some point. These cap hits are all going to rise next year and the following year for these guys. The Broncos could then restructure these guys. And now we're living in Sean Payton's world, because this is something that Sean Payton did during his time with the Saints. And that's why the Saints are in such a bad position right now in these last couple of years. And to me, it makes sense why Sean Payton wanted out of New Orleans. They didn't have a quarterback anymore, and their cap was a terrible place to be, because they kept pushing salaries down the road, and eventually you do have to pay the bill. But Sean Payton did it there for 15 years, and then at the very end is when he had to pay the bill. So it's not like this is going to catch up with the Broncos next year, but eventually, Brady, it will.
So you're saying, okay, it's not an immediate worry that, okay, this kind of stuff, he looked great on paper during the free agency period and all that, but then down the road, it started to wear down. So we shouldn't be worried about this as being a sign for the immediate future, meaning the next, I don't know, 3 to 5 years, that going forward, this might be something that you just keep kicking that can down the road. Nothing we have to really stress about right now.
Yeah, not right now. And if the Broncos continue to do this next year and year after, then the bill probably gets due just a little sooner. But, Brady, why I was a little surprised that the Broncos went out, I was not surprised at the first two moves, getting Mike McGlinchey, getting Ben Powers to big contracts. That's something I expected Sean Payton to do, was work on the offensive line right away, spend money there. But then you have the deal for Zach Allen. I thought the Broncos were going to be able to spend big responsibly on two guys. And so when they made it three guys, I was a little surprised by that. And the reason is the Broncos have to remember and think about Russell Wilson's contract. This year, he's only due $22 million in a cap hit this year. That is extremely reasonable. It jumps in the 30s next year. Then it jumps in the 50s the year after that. So when the Broncos are devising these contracts, that's why I was a little surprised that all of these contracts are really backloaded, is because that's just going to match up, unfortunately, with Russell Wilson's contract also starting to explode in a couple of years. But that's the way they're doing it, because they wanted to get a lot of players in here right now, and Sean Payton is certainly wasting no time spending money. I said an average of $59 million per year for the contracts given out. They spent over $200 million yesterday and over $120 million in guaranteed money. They were the highest spending team the first day in free agency.
That's insane. So when you talk about backloading, does that lead you to believe that the Broncos are already kind of structuring this thing where we're not counting on Russell Wilson to really work out to the point where we want to work with him much past next season?
Potentially, but regardless of when they move on from him, that cap is going to impact the team for the next few years. And if Russ doesn't work out this year and they move on from him, they're going to have a large cap number to eat next year, but then they're also going to have to take dead cap into the following year, which would be 2025. So they're really going to be stuck with Russell Wilson's contract, whether or not he's on the team, for the next many years to come. And that just points to, if Russell doesn't work out, boy, they're going to have to find a reasonably priced quarterback moving forward, whether that's a rookie or a cheap vet.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. Okay, the moves. Let's talk about those. Mike McGlinchey, Ben Powers. Let's just go on the offensive side. Those two guys right there. I was shocked they got both. You know, I thought that they were going to go for one of those big names. You talked about both of those guys last week on the show. I thought they were going to really go all in for one guy. I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, it's not my money, so I'm pleasantly surprised that they got both guys. And then they they get a blocking tight end, and we're just going to call him Chris Man Hurts. We're going to do that. That's going to be fun. Those three moves right there. I mean, doesn't that scream it from the rooftop? We are going to run the football like we've never ran it before.
1,000%. And at first, when Sean Payton was introduced as the Broncos head coach, he made it very clear that he was going to take pressure off Russell Wilson. He said, we're going to take him off the high dive by running the ball and taking pressure off of him. And some people, you know, said, well, we'll see. We'll see if they actually do that. Well, Sean Payton's telling you right now that's exactly what they're going to do. Ben Powers last year was one of the best blocking linemen, not just guards, but linemen in the NFL. And Mike McGlinchey is very good in the run game as well. And then you pair that with Quinn Meinerz and Garrett Bowles, who, again, are two good run blockers. The Broncos' commitment to the run is absolutely there. And you mentioned Chris Manhurts is going to hurt some people in the run game. He's one of the best blocking tight ends in the game. And Brady, they paid him $3 million. That's a lot for just a specialist as a blocking tight end. So it really does show you their commitment to the run game and just taking pressure off Russell Wilson. That is what we should expect from these Broncos moving forward, is a run-first team.
Zach, we've talked about this before with Russell Wilson, his best days in Seattle. He didn't utilize the tight end that much. Is that right? So maybe when you're looking at a guy like Manhurts and just the overall tight end setup here is like, hey, block first, catch second.
100%. And then the Broncos already have that receiving tight end on their roster with Greg Dulcich. Obviously, they'll want him to become a little more well-rounded, and that typically comes with tight ends when they're in the league for a little longer. Greg needs to put on some weight, but they have their receiving tight end, so that's why I'm not surprised they didn't make a move in free agency to go try to get a Dalton Schultz or a big-time weapon in the pass game at that receiver position or at the tight end for being a receiver, because they have that with him. And like you said, they're just going to rely on the tight ends to be big-time blockers.
Zach Stevens joining us. Zach, more on the offensive side of the ball, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when George Payton stated that Javonte Williams, you know, they expect him to be back. Now more than ever, I'm sure, you know, Williams is salivating, chomping at the bit, hoping he's back, because running behind this reconstructed offensive line, if he can stay healthy, if he can start the season healthy, he could have a crazy third year to start to his career.
Without a doubt, especially because the Broncos haven't made a move at running back to take pressure off of him. If he's healthy, which I still think is a massive if, Brady, he's going to be set up for a huge season this year. And the Broncos still could add a running back. I expect them to sign at least one running back in free agency. Now, you know, maybe that's Latavius Murray to a $2 million per year deal, and then they go and draft someone. They're still going to add to that running back position. And whether it's Javonte or someone else, they're going to be set up in a very, very good position moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, that offensive line is going to make average running backs probably look good. So what's that line look like then? Does it sound like A, they're going to roll on with Garrett Bowles, and B, will they try to reconstruct his contract at all?
Yeah, potentially. And again, if you do that with the contracts and restructure them, it pushes money further down the line. That's, again, I just warn about doing that too much with the Broncos right now with how many of these contracts are built like that. But I do expect Garrett Bowles to be the guy. And, you know, if you could trade Garrett Bowles and get something good in return, and then you go and draft a tackle in the draft, that would make sense, and I would sign off on that. But, Brady, you have to remember that Garrett Bowles is coming off a broken leg, so that just makes it so much more difficult to trade him. And his trade value up in the air already, but then you throw in the broken leg, you're not going to get a great return from him. So it doesn't make sense for me to trade him right now. Now, maybe you do that after he plays a couple of games in the season, and that's when you make a move, but it doesn't make sense to move him now. So I do expect him to be on the team this year. So you have Garrett Bowles at left tackle, left guard. You have Ben Powers, who, like I said, a very good guard. Now, the only downside of Ben Powers is he's really a one-hit wonder. Last year, he was one of the best guards in the league. Before that, he was still trying to find himself and develop into an NFL player. So that's the only downside with him, is you are banking on just one very good year. It's not something I'm too concerned with. Center, That's the question mark here. Lloyd Cushenberry, I guess, is the starter as of right now, but that's kind of by default. You moved on from Graham Glasgow, and you just don't have anyone else there right now. And then I guess you could go with Luke Wattenberg, but I don't think that's going to be the plan. So I think that third-round pick, one of those third-round picks, could absolutely be used on center. Then you have Quinn Meinerth at right guard. Everyone knows about the belly. And then right tackle, Mike McGlinchey. We don't have to even think about right tackle for the next, you know, 3 to 5 years.
Who needs the draft when you do it all through free agency, man? Hopefully that works out. Okay, Zach Allen, that's the other big name. I was shocked to see that one. You know, we kind of started to feel like Draymond Jones was gonna leave. Of course, he goes to kind of the new NFC rivalry for the Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks. Is that a wash? Did they get better there? Or give us your thoughts on Zach Allen? I know he's a Vance Joseph guy, so maybe they feel like they did get better.
Yeah, the Broncos do feel like they got better, especially because of that scheme fit. Vance Joseph has loved Zach Allen. The Cardinals drafted Zach Allen, Vance Joseph's first year with the Cardinals. They had a first-round grade on him. He fell to the third round, and then he just continued to develop into a very, very good player as he progressed. The past 2 years, he's really come into his own and become a very good defensive lineman. Last year, he had pretty much the exact same stats. And, I mean, I'm talking the exact same stats. Draymond Jones and Zach Allen both had 47 tackles. Draymond Jones had 6.5 sacks. Zach Allen had 5.5 sacks. But the biggest difference is Zach Allen had 20 quarterback hits compared to Draymond Jones's only 10 quarterback hits. I do think that Zach Allen is slightly a better player in the run game, and he can get after the quarterback. So, I mean, I think you can call this a push, but I think you can even make the case that Zach Allen's just a little bit better, and the fact that the Broncos saved a couple million dollars per year by choosing Allen is a cherry on top. And then what I like about it the most is they got Vance Joseph, his guy, which I think is very important.
Got Alex Singleton back in the mix, too. You re-signed one of your guys, one of your targets. You got your backup quarterback in Jarrett Stidham. I mean, yesterday, Zach, felt like the best of all worlds there. You were able to add instant starters, both on the offensive and defensive side. You kept one of your starters, and you got a backup. You needed to improve there, and maybe it seems like they did.
Yeah, exactly. And Brady, Jarrett Stidham, to me, a little bit head-scratching, just especially if you're trying to really win this year and next year, just because he's only started 2 career games. But this could be Sean Payton saying, I identify talent in this guy. And that's what Jarrett Stidham is he's kind of a high upside, big question mark sort of backup. And they're paying him like a real backup. $5 million per season is no joke. So Sean Payton kind of putting his first stamp on a quarterback saying, I like what Jarrett Stidham brings to the table. And then bringing Alex Singleton back. Alex Singleton is an absolute baller, Brady. So many advanced metrics love Alex Singleton. Stats love Alex Singleton, 160 tackles last year, and he just produces. And good for Alex Singleton. $6 million a year is a really, really good contract. And that's what happens when players hit free agency, is typically you have to overpay for them. And that's kind of my one knock on the Broncos yesterday. I think they got some great players, but they did overpay for probably everyone outside of Ben Powers. I think Ben Powers is a pretty fair deal.
Well, there's a lot here, man. Are we going to see any more big moves, or do the Broncos hibernate a bit here until the draft?
You know, I was told by a team source that the team's feeling pretty good right now, but you can never sleep on Sean Payton in free agency. So, you know, I know there's some noise about C.J. Gardner-Johnson out there. You got to keep your eyes peeled just on any other potential moves. But I think for the most part, now it's just about rounding out the roster.
All right, my man, Zach, appreciate your great work yesterday. You were all over the place, and we appreciate you jumping on.
Right on. Love being on, Brady. Thank you.
All right, Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Huge moves. A concern in Mr. Stevens's voice. We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's a new ad in town. Hear the blue and gold spring football game on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Got our game beer of the week thanks to On the Rocks Liquor. This one's from Left Hand Milk Stout Nitro. It's a left-hand Milk Stout Nitro. There it is. Perfect for St. Patrick's Day. And then they got the free tasting coming up on Saturday. Lovo's Wines, Whites, and Red Wines from 4 to 7 p.m. That's On the Rocks Liquor. They're located right off Highway 34 and 47th Avenue, very close to Buffalo Wild Wings there on the south side of Highway 34. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. Let's get to our poll question, all that other stuff on the other side. We got the Lunch Rush poll question of the day. What was your favorite signing yesterday for the Broncos? No question about it. We're feeling, I think, the vibe is very positive, but Zach Stevens had a little bit of a caution in his voice, and we'll kind of recap his conversation with us. Also, recap my conversation yesterday with Chris Dempsey. There's some things to unpack here going on with some of our local teams, and we'll get to all that on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.